This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I like Luke. It's his gospel again today. We had it last Sunday for Corpus Christi Sunday. That was the 14th chapter, and today we move on to the 15th. Now, if you are going to read the Bible, and why not? After all, it is the book. And not for nothing is it called that. There is the power of the Holy Ghost in its pages. If you were to read the Bible, they say a good place to start would be the Gospel of St. Luke for a few minutes a day. He's an artist. He paints with words in these parables the picture of the mercies of the Sacred Heart towards us. They say he was an actual artist, this doctor turned evangelist, and that perhaps one or more of the very, very ancient Madonnas, Our Lady the Salvation of the Roman People, Our Lady of the Snows, or perhaps Our Lady of Częstochowa, or even Our Lady of Perpetual Help, were painted by him. But in any case, he is Our Lady's evangelist. Nor does he cut the ladies out from the stories. So in today's gospel, we have the Sacred Heart searching for lost souls, like a woman who lights a lamp in a dark house, looking for that 10th coin she needs to complete her marriage dowry. The kingdom of heaven would not be complete without you, without sinners. Now today, the Pharisees and the scribes, as is sometimes the case, complain against Christ, and they're right. This man eateth with sinners. He receiveth them and eateth with them. How does that happen, if not by Holy Communion? Please remember that our Lord not only feeds you, he eats with you. You feed him. And that is the meaning of the word. Come with union. Union with our Lord, with you, and you with our Lord. How does this work? How does it get you here to be fed? Well, you must look at last Sunday's gospel for that. Our Lord tells the parable. A certain man made a great supper, and he invited many. Note, many, not all. The valid words of the consecration of the precious blood. And this invitation goes out three distinct times. The first goes to the respectable folk, the Jews of the leadership class, I suppose you could say. But they have excuses. Probably today, people would just not show up, or they'd text you 10 minutes before. When you've got so many options, why should you commit yourself too soon? So I bought a farm, 5 yoke of oxen. I pray they hold me excused. Interesting excuses, these. References to business, to work, to projects, but not to play, not to games, which is the big cause for missing Sunday Mass for many folk. They were more serious back then, I suppose. And then, of course, there's always the question of sloth. The third excuse is interesting. I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There's no apology. There's no discussion. Some things just trump God, don't they? End of story. So the servants are sent out a second time to the lowest of the Jews, to the poor people, to the feeble, to the blind, and to the lame. And the employer says, go out quickly. And then there's still room. The third invitation goes. This time, it's for the pagans. It's for the Gentiles. Smile. That's you. And still today, is it so? Go out into the highways and the hedges compelle intrare. That's the Latin. Listen to that phrase, compelle intrare. Compel them, entrance, in, enter in, make them come in. Listen to the Latin, you know more than you realize. For none of those who were tasted, or who were invited, rather, shall taste of my supper. That's the punishment for not coming. The invitation is withdrawn. Don't let that happen. Last Sunday, as I generally do at the 5:45, I was standing at the back door with John, the faithful usher. And we do our best each week in the evening, just the two of us, to try to sing the closing hymn. And I was watching the different people leaving. It's interesting. And there's an old man, God love him, so faithful so many years. He's on his cane. And you wonder how he makes it, so feeble is he. And then there were some others, for one reason or another, who could barely walk, and it's really more of a waddle. And then perhaps I was thinking, too, maybe some are spiritually blind. After all, why wouldn't you stay for a second after Mass to say thanks for this Mass? Thanks, Lord, for your invitation. Well, we were singing, and I was watching, and all of a sudden the thought occurred to me, that's us. God bless you, you cast of characters at St. Gertrude the Great. You're the lame and the poor, and with some highway and hedgeway folk thrown in. There were some young people at the 5:45 last Sunday by mistake. Their GPS did them in. They were looking for the regular St. Gertrude in Madeira, and they ended up at St. Gertrude the Great instead. And they're wearing shorts, and they were kneeling right in the back, as far back as you could get by the cross. And they were kneeling on the stone floor, and I thought to myself, well, now that's some penance to do for violating the dress code, isn't it? But everybody spoke very kindly to them afterwards, quite welcoming, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe they'll be back. The key to our greatness at St. Gertrude the Great, if we have any to dispose of, is the sheer miracle of mercy that we're here at all. It's our littleness. We're the blind and the lame. We're the odd people, scoured out of highways and hedges, scooped up and almost forced in. A scruffy bunch, to be sure. Why us, when there are so many far more worthy? But you see, they never opened their invitation. And St. Paul explains, God hath chosen the weak and the foolish of this world to put to shame the wise. That's why. The learned, the respectable, moderate and measured, self-possessed people, even in our traditional circles, the wise and the wise guys, and even the pious move on, have you noticed, after a while, or better, they stay away entirely. Everybody knows St. Gertrude the Great throughout the whole tri-state area, and most people know enough to stay away, except if you were really in a pinch for a Mass at a particular time. Oh, beloved of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, be humble. Be humble and say, we're the littlest and we're the least. And if you stay humble, you know, you'll keep a sense of humor too. And with that, you have almost everything you need for holiness. The great Cardinal Secretary of State of St. Pius X, Mary de Laval, wrote a litany of humility, which is a beautiful prayer. Sometimes I do my own, though. Who are we? We are the crumbs of the loaf. Who are we? We're the dregs of the wine. It was a good bottle, but we're just the dregs at the bottom. We're the drippings of the candle wax. Well, St. Paul sums it up. We're the offscouring of all until now. Someone wrote me a story the other day about an old Mexican maid who would make her dinner out of the table scraps of everybody else, as saints used to do sometimes, commenting when asked, "Well, it's God's food, and it shouldn't be wasted. Should your host be wasted even one Sunday? Or should our Lord go away from the table unfed because you're not here?" Why us? St. Bernadette was often asked that question with a certain note of disdain. She was from the lower classes. She was not of the bourgeoisie. And she would always say, "Look, if Our Lady could have found anyone else more ignorant or poorer than I, she would have chosen her." We're the edgy. We're the extremists. We're the last ones left at the station. We're the back of the bus. And for all of our Catholic glory, the little bits we manage, high worship and high theology with some neat technology thrown in, we are also the church of the sinner. And we must welcome them. They are the 10th coin. How could we not? How could we be complete without them? This, after all, their welcome is our engraved invitation. He receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. Would I could compel all of our faithful to come in and eat with him each Sunday. But don't ever miss Mass, not through your own fault. Pay your tithe, the tithe of your time. Pay what thou owest. See to your own nourishment. Take care of yourself and your soul. And while you're at it, feed a hungry Jesus who lingers at the communion rail and longs for you and waits for you there. If only we could make everybody come, and at some of the other Masses, I don't worry about the High Mass folk, you're extremely virtuous, to come on time, not ever to be in that cushion club. Well, last of all, there's a phrase from last Sunday's Gospel that sticks with me. Exicito, that's the Latin. And I gave a little explanation about that to the 7:30 people, because some of them have the bad habit of doing that. They go out quickly. That's what the phrase means. Exicito, go out quickly. Well, we should never do that. You're good about staying for the final hymn until Father has gone on to the postlude. Then should you leave right away? Should you go at that point? I don't think so. There's something else that remains. Just for a second, to say thank you to our Lord. Don't go out too quickly until you've had a chance just to pause, to kneel if you can, and to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for this Mass. Thank you for eating with me, a sinner. Thank you for inviting the likes of me to your supper. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.